Thanks, John. Thanks, Ryan. That was a great song. I think it's a good reminder for us, really, when you think about it. Like, when we're in His presence, we're supposed to sing His praise, right? And sometimes it doesn't feel very easy to you. Sometimes life happens and stuff's going on around you. You're like, I don't want to be here, or I feel like just standing here and grumbling to myself or whatever. But we're in His place, and we're supposed to sing His praise. And I think that song that John wrote is a good reminder for us. So I'm going to ask John if I can put it on our... It'll also be... John, is it okay if we put it on our website under sermons? So it's going to be on our website as well if you want to listen to it and just worship with it too. And the plan is to get it on our slides. So maybe in a few weeks we'll sing it together as a church. But we wanted to introduce it to you and just encourage you with that song. So thanks, John, for listening to the Holy Spirit and just following His prompting, and for writing that song, and for singing it for us, and for sharing your heart. So thank you. That was great. We're continuing on our series, Doubters Anonymous. And the sermon, I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. You're safe. Is I Doubt God Will Use Me. So this is the third and final gathering of our group of Doubters Anonymous. I hope after this third week we are no longer part of Doubters Anonymous. I pray that we've moved beyond that. But we're going to talk about this, I doubt God will use me, because I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with in their life. And I'll ask, like, do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, oh, God can't use me, or God's not going to use me there? I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Maybe you don't feel that way. You're thinking, well, that's stupid. How can somebody think that? But there's people that there's some days where we just feel like, I messed up, I failed, I did this, I did that, and you feel like, I don't know how God's going to use me in this. But we need to acknowledge that God wants to use us, and we need to stop with the doubt. We need to stop listening to the doubt. See, a lot of us have heard things like, well, I know God, or maybe we've said things, I know God can use people like Billy Graham, or great musicians or talented people, but I just don't know if God can use me. Do you know what I'm saying here? Do you guys get what I'm saying? Because I think this is what a lot of people struggle with. And if you're anything like I am, as soon as you take a step forward toward the things that of God to use your gifts, it's amazing how quickly some of those doubts sometimes creep into your life. And maybe I'm the rarity, but there's a lot of times that these doubts sometimes try to creep in your head and you get beaten down a little bit with these doubts, and it happens. Maybe you've thought things like the old, oh, I'm just not good enough, or, you know, I messed up the last time I did that, so I just don't want to do it again. I don't want to try it. I don't want to put myself out there. And it takes a lot of trust to put yourself out there, doesn't it? Sometimes you may think that I'm just not a mature enough follower of Christ to be able to do that, or I've got this on the go and I just can't step into something like that. It takes too much commitment. Or I've heard people say things like, I've only been a Christ follower for such a short time, or I've been only attending that church for such a short time, I really can't get involved yet. Or I've messed up big time, or I don't have the talent, and I'm hoping these don't resonate to you, but I'm hoping you might have heard these, or maybe you've said these at some point in your life, and we want to talk through these. Or maybe it's been things like, I've got some things in my life that just aren't right. I'm not perfect. Well, I've said multiple times, none of us are perfect. Is there somebody perfect here? Maybe I'm wrong. No hands? Okay, good. Good, I'm not alone. But there's all sorts of reasons that this doubt comes into our minds and that we feel disqualified to be used by God. There's things that happen in our life that we feel disqualified, or we lose focus on what's happening, the big picture. So for those of you that maybe feel like that, or have felt like that, or heard people that feel like that, I think we can all use this message to either be encouraged or encourage somebody else, or keep it in our pocket for when we need encouragement, because at some point it's going to happen. At some point, somebody's going to say something negative to you. and it's going to hit you flat. And I want you to feel encouraged to know that you don't need to feel that way. So whenever you have doubt about what the purpose is, what's happening, being used by God and God's design and plans for you, I want you to think about Ephesians 2:10. And what does Ephesians 2:10 say? This is, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Does that say anything about the bad things that he's got for us? It says the good things he's had planned for us. And we need to walk in those good things. We're his masterpieces. We're not his trash. We're not his leftovers. We didn't make, you know, Lyle and Rick and Gary and then say, well, we got some leftovers, so let's make Dave. It's not how it was. Each one of us was his masterpiece. Each single one. We're all unique. We're all pressed for his masterpiece, for his purpose that he has for us. And I think that should be encouraging. Don't you think that's encouraging? We're his masterpiece. We're his work of art. So when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I look awful. No, we are Christ's masterpiece. The Bible says right there, we are his masterpiece. So when you look at the word masterpiece, what does that mean to you? See, in Scripture, we also read that we're anew. We're new in Christ. What does that mean? So let's talk about that a little bit. Because he has good things for us that he's had planned. We just read we're his masterpiece and he created us anew in Christ Jesus. So let's break this down a little bit, okay? So what is a masterpiece? I just asked that. I gave you guys 30 seconds. You should have thought of the answer. Well, the Greek word is poiame. And literally what this word means is a product or creation with a design purpose. That's what masterpiece means. God wants you to know that you are his masterpiece, designed by him to glorify him by using your gifts that he has given you. Specifically for you. To be used to glorify him. And Jesus made us anew. So I've got a couple questions, and I don't want to keep us all morning, but I'm going to, because I got the microphone. So I got a question for you. Who does God most often use? Now, I think that God uses everyone that is anew in him. But I think that there are three types of people that are commonly used, okay? So bear with me. If you're like, well, but I don't fall into one of those three categories. I'm not saying he doesn't use everyone, but I think these three are types of people that he commonly uses. So I think God commonly uses the insecure. I think he uses the insecure. God uses those who are not sure about their own abilities. Because every single Sunday I come up here and I'm not sure about my abilities. Did you know that? I've shared with you guys that a couple times. I'm not sure of my abilities. I'm up here and I'm just totally leaning on the Lord's strength for this and trusting him and walking through him. And I think, now please hear me correctly when I say this, but I think if I was a lot more focused and confident in my abilities as a pastor or as your pastor, that pride could squeak in on me. And then I'm not leaning on him, I'm leaning on me. Do you know what I mean? And I think God loves using the insecure because there are so many times that it just forces you to use him and lean on him. In the Old Testament, when God called on a servant Moses, who we talked about this morning in my Sunday school class with the kids, to deliver God's people. And as soon as God called him, what was the first thing Moses did? Said he couldn't. He revealed his insecurities, didn't he? I stutter. I can't speak well. In Exodus 4:10, what do we read? Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. In other words, God, I'm not the best man for the job. You put me in a crowd and I'll freak out. I'll suck at this. It's not my thing, God. I say wrong things all the time. I put my foot in my mouth. I stutter. I'm not the right guy for the job. And God wants to use you, and whenever you step in that direction, you watch as in the back of your mind, you've got this resume of all your failures and all the places you fall short, the I'm not good enoughs, the I don't know enoughs. And God wants to use the insecure Moses for this. Man. Think about Moses. You know, I'm not a good speaker. And God just directs him. God directs him. In verse 11 and 12, we read how God directs him. The Lord said to Moses, "Who gave man his mouth?" Do you not think the Lord didn't know that Moses stuttered and had a hard time speaking in public? Who do you think Moses gave you that mouth to speak with? Is it not I, the Lord? And I love how the Lord just tells him, now go, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to speak, and I will teach you what to say. But first, Moses, what do you need to do? You need to go. You need to take that step. You have to step out in order to find out what I'm willing to do with you and through you. You have to open up your mouth so I can fill it, Moses. And I think for me, sometimes it's hard to open up my mouth so the Lord can fill it, because sometimes I also just, you know me, guys, I just talk sometimes, and I just talk, and it doesn't always make sense because I'm on 15 different trains of thought. But I just have to trust that the Lord's going to fill my mouth, and hopefully not with my foot. But you have to take the step of faith and believe that he will meet you there, and even though maybe you don't fully believe in yourself, God says, I believe in you. I believe in you, and I want you to step out and step out of your comfort zone, and I want you to do this, and I want you to lead. If you step out, God's going to help you find out all the potential that you have through him, what a masterpiece you are. So I want to encourage you with that today. God will use you. The second people type that God uses is the unlikely. And I think this is also exciting, that God uses the unlikely. God loves to use people that others overlook. Do you know that? Other people often get overlooked, and God loves to use them. God loves to use those that others don't think have what it takes. Do you believe me? I believe it. See, we found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel the prophet was called to go and anoint the next king, is an example of this. And he went to a guy named Jesse's house, and he was looking at Jesse's sons, and he said, I wonder which one has what it takes. And he looked at the tallest and the most handsome, the most likely candidate would probably be him. This is surely who God has. And we see in verse 6 what he says. He says, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Does he? The Lord doesn't look at what we see. Doesn't look upon our outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? Our heart. See, and then we keep reading in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11. And it says, there's still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's out tending sheep. The unlikely. See, God loves to look at the unlikely. And I like the way God used Jesus when you think about this too. Jesus was the unlikely. Did you know that? Now, to us, that doesn't make sense. Yes, but you got to look at the time. Look at where this was. Everyone would have considered him unlikely. Philip, Andrew, and Peter one time were talking to Nathaniel, and the three guys are chatting. They said, "Hey, Nate, I think we found the one." And he said, "What are you talking about? You found the one." He said, "You know, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, the anointed one, the Savior that's been prophesied for hundreds of years. We think we found him. We think we actually met him," Nathaniel said. And they asked him, "What's his name?" And they said, "His name is Jesus of Nazareth." And you know what? All of a sudden, Nathaniel said, "Well, what good could ever come from Nazareth? What good can ever come of Nazareth?" I was me trying to play my drum there with like my, you know, I don't know what you call it, the drum roll thing when you make a joke. What good could ever come of Nazareth? See, the unlikely. I think that's something unique about this church. And we'll talk about a bit about this, and I'll really breeze over this. So oftentimes, what do churches look for when they're hiring their pastor? They're always looking for the most educated. That's a very common thing. They're looking for people with a master's degree, or they're looking for people with this degree or that degree, or they want a conference speaker. I spoke at a conference once. I wasn't very good, but I spoke at a conference once. So I wouldn't consider myself a conference speaker. We make jokes about it in Lloyd. "Well, I'm Dave Miskell. I'm a conference speaker with my friends." So it's not an arrogant thing. It's a joke. But that's what churches often look for. They look for the best dressed, the most educated, the best speaker. And I think that's something unique about this church, because I was none of those things. I was well dressed. I had great hair. I had a mohawk. Lyle loved my mohawk. But that's something so unique, because you guys didn't look at the most educated, the best speaker. I truly believe you guys looked at my heart and saw my heart for people, and my heart for the community, and my heart for the church and for what God could do. And I truly am thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the church search committee gave me an opportunity, and just they took a chance on a kid from Prince Albert. Nothing good comes from Prince Albert. But you know what? They took a chance on the unlikely. And it's interesting, because when you go through the postings for pastors and jobs and stuff, and because I, when I was looking for a post, a place to come and pastor, all these places, they wanted people who were married and had great qualities and masters of divinity, or, you know, at least a bachelor or something. They wanted somebody with 10 years of lead pastor experience. And, you know, if you look at those places, Jesus would never have been able to apply there. Jesus wasn't married. He had no masters of divinity. He only had 3 years of public ministry, right? Oh, let's look at his qualifier. Oh, next. Bring it in. Come on, next. Sorry, Jesus. Hit the road. Maybe somebody's going to give you a youth pastor job somewhere, an assistant. But you're not the guy. Because God doesn't look at the things that everybody else looks at. He sees these things that other people don't see. See, God specializes in using the unlikely. So I want to encourage you guys today, as my Doubters Anonymous group, to stop believing what other people might have said about you. Stop believing what people might have said about you at some point, and start believing what Jesus says about you, what God says about you. You are his masterpiece. He's made you anew. He's given you these gifts, this good plan to be used by him. So stop believing that. If you're believing that and you're holding on to that, stop. Stop. You're not the sum of other people's opinions. You are who God says you are. Right? I hope you guys believe that. God says, you're blessed coming and you're blessed going, doesn't he? God says you have a unique purpose. God says he is working out all things to bring about good for those who love him, doesn't he? God blesses those who come into his presence and who connect with him, who want relationship with him, who want to know him in new ways. Start believing what God says about you. Don't let other people put you down there. See, oh boy. When you look at that verse and Jesse's answer, the question I didn't put up there was what Samuel said, are there any others? Maybe I did put it up there and I just don't remember reading it. Are there any others? Are there any others? Well, there's still the youngest, but you don't want him. He's the runt. See, there's doubt even in the father's mind. But God saw the next king there, didn't he? I think that's something we can celebrate because he uses the unlikely. And then we have the fact that I think God uses the failures. God uses failures. I said, who's perfect here in the room? Nobody put up their hand. We've all failed at some point, haven't we? We've all made a mistake. We've all dropped the ball. And if you failed at some point in your life, I've got great news for you. You're still a candidate for God to use. Isn't that exciting? Maybe I'm just the only one excited. Sorry. I think that's great. And in the New Testament, we see some of the most successful failures in the Bible. And let's talk about one guy. Let's talk about a guy that his name is Peter. Maybe you've heard of him. Have you ever heard of Peter? If you know about anything about Peter, Peter loved to what? He liked to talk, right? Loved to run his mouth a little bit. He was a little bit of a firecracker. And it got him in trouble sometimes. He was the guy that bragged about his faithfulness to Jesus, didn't he? Oh. He said, hey, Jesus, you know, you see these other guys. They're a bunch of losers. They're not going to be there for you till the end. But Jesus, I got your back, man. I got it. I've got you covered. I'm going to follow you wherever. Jesus, if other people deny you, I'm there. I'm not going to deny you because I am there for you, Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I got some bad news for you. Do you know this story? Maybe you've heard it. I've got some bad news for you, Peter. One of these days, you're going to deny me. Not just once, Peter, not just twice, but three times. And it's going to be before the rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, or whatever a rooster does. I think it's a cock-a-doodle-doo. Don't ask me to make the noise because it's going to really shriek in the microphone. And Peter's like, no, you don't understand, Jesus. I am with you, Jesus. I've got you. And one day, a man came up to Peter and said, hey, do you know Jesus? Aren't you with Jesus? In Luke 22, verse 60. And let's read that. I think it should be up there. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Can you imagine the pain that Peter was going through at that moment? I just failed the Lord. The guy that I just told yesterday that I was with him, that I had his back, and now I failed him. How many of us can say at some point, you know, I told the Lord, I just accepted him in my heart, I just became a believer, and now I've done this or that. You know what it might have been that you've done, and you're thinking, I just failed the Lord. I am ill-equipped. I am not able to serve. I'm not able to do this for him. Now, I don't know for sure what was going through his mind, but let me tell you what might have gone through your mind is that I just messed up big time. Jesus called me the rock. I'm more like clay or plasticine or silly putty. I got no hardness. I'm not formed. I messed up. I'll never be called on again. I've destroyed my relationship with Jesus. My credibility is blown. It's shot. He's never going to trust me. I failed too big. And see, the thing is that sometimes when you fail, It's at that point you are more broken and humbled before God and more dependent on Him than you've ever been in your life. And you know what? God still wants to use you. He still wants to use you. When we mess up, He still wants to use us. And what's humbling to me about Peter is that Jesus came back to him and He forgave him and immediately used him to do perhaps the greatest thing that ever happened in the New Testament besides the resurrection, right? And that was the birth of the New Testament church that Peter got to lead and be a part of. The guy that just denied Jesus 3 times after he said, "No, not me, God. I got your back to the end." "Well, I don't know Jesus." "Jesus who? Who are you talking about?" Right? And then he weeps bitterly. And Jesus forgave him and still used him for the greatest thing. Isn't that encouraging? Man, you guys, either you're sleeping, I'm not loud enough. But this is exciting stuff that we can be used when we make mistakes. See, the failure of Peter preached at Pentecost. What did he preach? He preached, "Repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Why do you think he could preach his forgiveness so passionately? Why do you think? Because he had just been forgiven by Jesus. He had just turned his back on Jesus and came back crawling to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him and loved him. He knew what it meant to be forgiven. He had just seen this forgiveness of Jesus. And the Bible said that as he preached, those who accepted the message were changed. It said those that... Let's keep reading. Sorry, I should just jump there. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 300 people were added to their numbers that day. 3,000. Yeah, 3,000. Did I write? Oh, no, I did type it right. 3,000. I was typing. Sorry. 3,000 people were added to their numbers that day. 3,000. The entire community of Rosetown saved. Just like that. From a guy who denied Jesus, from a failure. Don't tell me you can't do it. Jesus made you his masterpiece, right? He's called you to good things, right? Man, you guys are going to make me into a Pentecostal pastor and scream and shout. My brother-in-law was last week was laughing at me and said, "I don't know if you're quite there. Your face wasn't red when you were yelling." Guys, we have been called to great things where we can be used. Even when we mess up, 3,000 people. I think that's encouraging. The failure, Peter, preach at Pentecost. 3,000 people added to their numbers. Wow. The failure, Dave Misko, preaching Rosetown. 3,000 people could be saved. The failure, Lyle Ease, preached in Rosetown. 3,000 people can be saved. Don't hear me that I'm calling you a failure, but hear what I'm saying that we've done. We've all failed at some point. We are not failures. We are masterpieces. That's the thing about this whole thing. We're not a failure. We're not washed up. We're not unlikely. We are his masterpiece, and we need to believe it and live like it. I'm going to invite the music team up. So I have one key thought, and I said the statement earlier, and it's the fact that we need to step out to find out. We need to step out in boldness and find out what God's got for us, the goodness and the place, the ministry we can do. We can serve in. We need to step out and find out the goodness that he has for us in this community, in this church, with each other. We need to step up to find out. There are those of us that today, you'll do something small and you're going to make a big difference. Start there. Start somewhere. There will be things that God puts on our heart. Start there. You have to step out to find out what God wants to do. We have to step out to find out. I'm saying that because I want you guys to know that we need to step out to find out. Because until we step out, we're not going to know the goodness that He has for us and what He's going to do and what His plans are until we actually take that step. In all things that we live our life for, everything we put our hand to. Because I'm sure at some point we could have fallen into one of those three categories somehow. We've got to step out to find out what He has for us. See, maybe you've also heard this story. But there were these guys out on a boat. Do you know this story? There was the disciples out on the boat, and Jesus just cruises up and chills out and walks up to the boat. Do you know this? And He walks on water. And Peter looked out. Peter again. And I wonder if I can do that. So he talked to Jesus. Lord, if it's You, Peter replied, let me come to You on the water. And Jesus said one word. What did He say to him? Do we have it up there? No. He said, come. Jesus said, come. And He said that Peter got down out of the boat and walked in the water and came towards Jesus. Come, one word. He had to step out to find out. Are we willing to step out to find out? Because we have to be. Otherwise, we're just going to die. And I'm not sure about you, but that's not a lot of fun. We need to step out to find out. We need to come. We need to live. See, Peter would never have known what was possible if he had just said, no, that's too scary. Just like the Impala that we talked about last week. Won't jump over the fence because he doesn't know where his feet are going to land. We need to step out and not worry where our feet are going to land because the Lord will guide our steps. Some of us have never taken a spiritual risk. Some of us need to. We need to step out to find out where God is going to use us. We have to step out to find out. What is the next step God wants you to take in life? Where are the areas that he's calling you to step out and serve or step out and do this or step out and do that? We've got to step out to find out the good things that He has for us because we're His masterpiece. Each and every one of us was designed so special. We're His masterpiece. So I ask you, what are you willing to trust Him with? What are you willing to step out with? And I encourage you to step out there. I invite you guys to stand and we're going to pray. Father, we thank You and we love You, God. God, I thank You that You call each and every one of us to You. You call each and every one of us Your masterpiece. Father, thank You that You have a special plan for each of us. And Father, I pray that we would walk out with boldness and step out with boldness into these plans that You have for us, God, that we wouldn't hold back, that we wouldn't just say, I'm tired, I've got too much on my plate, but we would step out to find out of the goodness that You have for us. Father, that we wouldn't be fearful, we wouldn't be tired, but we would step out for You, Jesus. Father, that we would reach this community for You, that we would encourage each other for You. Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would step out in boldness, step out with courage. God, I pray that You would stir in us something new, that we would step out to find out all that You have for us, God. That we would experience this great adventure that You have for us, God. And that we would do it together. Father, we love You. We love You, Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we sing this last song and as we go out today, God, that we would start stepping out in the things of You. In Jesus' name, amen.